listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. The views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
To have a guest speaker this morning, Lily McLaughlin from the Interfaith Forum, and I'll leave Lily to tell you more about herself when she gets up here. We also have a friend of Lily's, Alan Edwards, who we are lucky to have with us today as well, and he will be doing the Welcome to Country this morning and taking part in Lily's address. So I'd like to welcome you all here this morning. We welcome you here on behalf of the generations of Unitarians who have worshipped in similar gatherings in South Australia since 1854. We value your attendance, involvement and support. But most of all, we value you. If this is your first time here, or your 101st time, we are glad you're here. If you carry the weight of the weary world on your shoulders, or you entered through the doors with a song in your heart and a skip in your step, we're glad you're here. If you are the loudest voice in the town square or the subtle hand behind the scenes, we are glad you are here. If you have failed once or 1,000 times, glad you're here. If you sing like an angel or mumble the lyrics, we are glad you're here. This community is what it is because of your presence. So welcome. Welcome into this space of love, support, justice, compassion, fellowship, and worship. We're glad you're here.
Thank you, John. What a lovely place to be this morning, coming into lots of smiling faces and a beautiful atmosphere I could feel here. The land we are gathered on this morning is the traditional land of the Kaurna people, whose traditions, culture and beliefs are still practiced today as they have been for thousands of years. I acknowledge those of you here from other areas, other countries, other cultures, and I respect that you too have your own traditions, culture and beliefs. Also pay my respects to all of our elders, past, present and future. For without our elders, we wouldn't have the stories, the knowledge and the wisdom that we all possess today. As a local Kaurna Googa man, I'd like to welcome you all to Kaurna country and welcome you to this morning's service.
Thank you, Alan. I'll now light the candle. We've come into this fellowship from a world in which many of the everyday happenings and conditions of life threaten to crush us with an overwhelming sense of futility and worthlessness. We have come jointly to refuse to let each other be cast down by its tragedies, its pains, its injustices, its brevity, its uncertainty, or its unpredictability. We are here to help each other create a framework within which we can together pursue a positive way of relating ourselves to life, to value it in all its forms, to find it meaningful, and to serve it with all our heart, mind, and strength.
The reading is Thomas Merton's description of Le Pont Vierge in his letter to Boris Pasternak. In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of a shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people, that they were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness, of spurious self-isolation in a special world, the world of renunciation and supposed holiness. The whole illusion of a separate holy existence is a dream. This sense of liberation from an illusory difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. And if only everybody could realize this, but it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. There are no strangers. Then it was as if I suddenly saw the secret beauty of their hearts, the depths of their hearts where neither sin, desire, nor self-knowledge can reach, the core of their reality, the person that each one is. If only we could all see themselves as they really are, if only we could see each other that way all the time, there would be no more war, no more hatred, no more cruelty, no more greed. I suppose the big problem would be that we would fall down and worship each other, but that cannot be seen, only believed and understood by a peculiar gift. Again, that expression, le pont vierge, I cannot translate it. It comes in here, at the center of our being is a point of nothingness, which is untouched by sin and by illusion. A point of truth, a point or spark. It is like a pure diamond blazing with the invisible light of heaven. It is in everybody, and if we could see it, we would see these billions of points of light coming together in the face and blaze of a sun that would make all the darkness and cruelty of life vanish completely. I have no program for this. Thomas Merton.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you very much. The hospitality that you are here speaks from the moment that you stand on the pavement and you look at the beautiful values and you look at the golden rule and the acknowledgement that it is not contained in one faith. And then you walk in and you hear the values and you once again see your values up here, and it just makes everyone feel home. So if I just explain a little bit about myself, I'm a physio, which really is a great way to get to know the understory of people, the story that gets shared on a one-to-one basis. I'm also a reverent and an irreverent person. And I've got a reverence for the sacred and the spirit within each of us, but an irreverence for any religion that believes that our spirit could be contained in a box or a set of rules. And I think since I was about 3 years old, I wondered about people. And if I didn't know the story, I made it up. But as I grew, especially living under apartheid in South Africa, where I worked in a black hospital, can you imagine that word, those concepts? And I discovered closely the understory of the people who were the patients. I started thinking, but why do we other people? And I think that and September 11, when a whole explosion came of sadness, but also of joy, because we started wondering about each other. And then COVID came, and then that made us really realize our vulnerability as a people. So I hope that explains a little bit about the story. I would like to ask, How can we explore our sense of living in a pluralistic world? What's preparing you for it? And how do you feel about it? Because, you know, there was a time, we thought, when things were known and things were in their place. But fortunately, we also now know that that was just a story and that we are mere events. And being an event, you just can't measure the history of a rock, whether it was at one stage under the earth, at the top of a mountain, rounded by a river, and now a bit of sand. Or what is the journey of a leaf? We don't understand exactly why we have the colors of leaves. We've got theories. So my story today is going to invite Alan to help us understand Thomas Merton's story of that indescribable moment in which you understand the world very differently. That exercise on the board came together when a group of people gathered for lunch and we started wondering about the concept of kindness. And because there were many people in the room representing many different languages, a little girl with the name Precious helped us to write the different words. And I don't know which of the languages you can understand, but I just love the centrality of the exercise that just came spontaneous from the group of people. And I'm sort of wondering, where does evolution fit into our measured world? If we think of the evolution of the Earth, we can begin to pick up a story, but how do we pick up our own story of the momentous moments of a Gandhi that says, in the time that he lived, that in my country, the sacred book will be opened in many different churches and synagogues and temples today, but no one will know which one will be cited. Isn't that incredibly rich? That you did not know from which tradition you will learn that day. How does that feel to you? How then shall we live with those words of Gandhi? How do we move from the dualistic moment captured by Martin Luther King that says, I have a dream, to the nightmare of George Floyd, to the moment that Adam Goode stood up against that othering? That dualism does not sit well. A Malala that stands up against the Taliban, a Greta that stands up against Trump. How do we prepare ourselves in a dualistic world to pick sides or not to pick sides? How then shall we live? Hugh Mackay, in the exercise of or the thoughts about kindness, says that maybe if we ask a child, what did you do at school today? What did you learn? We are met with a unwilling or a numb silence. Where does the child start? But if you help them and you say, did you see any moments of kindness today? And I did that yesterday with my neighbor's kids. They have got 7 kids. And so I've got 7 moments in which I can talk to this wonderful couple. By the way, one of the grandparents had spent all her time in jail and had not been a present mother. So here I meet this wonderful parents and I meet these children and I say to Nipa at the age of 5, where did you see kindness? And she tells me, I see kindness every day in my mum and my dad and my teachers and my friends. And I said, oh, are there places where you may not see it? And she said, well, my little brother that wakes me up at 4:30 every morning to tell me that dad's leaving for work. So we talked about how do we handle what we think is not kind. Anyway, that brings me to, have you thought about where do we see kindness? And how does that propel us, urge us, call us to practice? The moment that Thomas Merton stood there innocently minding his own business on the corner of 4th and Walnut, and he suddenly felt that he loved all these people. One needs to understand that Thomas Merton went from a Protestant that went with his dad to church, to an atheist, to a student that showed promise but drank a lot to drown the promise, had to leave England very suddenly in the war, went to America, we had some family, kept on searching, became a communist, kept on searching, wanted to go to the monastery, and it was very, very hard with his history. When he got there, he said, "Oh dear, I know that Thomas Merton is now in the monastery, but the writer has also come with him." Now, Thomas Merton went from a Catholic monk who lived in a monastery to become a teacher, to have this vision, to write to everyone in the world, to really grasp and live out and model interfaith to us. So Thomas Merton then recognized that we are all people walking around like shining lights. Have you thought about yourself or other people as a shining light? And if you do, how does that change you? I will now invite Alan to come and tell us a snippet of his story, which is so rich that every time I hear this, I hear more. So may Alan help us from a specific vantage point to understand this moment better.
That was the first time I heard a description of the Pointe Vierge, and it made me think I've had my own La Pointe Vierge, but it wasn't quite like Thomas Merton's. I actually had mine when I died. I'd just like to share that experience with you. I'll give you the brief or the shorter version, so I don't keep you for too long. But almost 5 years ago now, coming up in July, I had a heart attack and I died, and I was dead for 45 minutes. In that time, and I'm still amazed by, as I said, it was almost 5 years ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday. In that time, I was in a light, and it was just bright white all around me. And I could feel myself there. I could feel myself as a person, as a being, in this light. I wasn't standing, I wasn't sitting, I was just there. But I could feel that I was there. But the thing was that I didn't know why I was there. I didn't know where I was. I didn't think I just died and here I am. I didn't think that I was just watching my son playing football. I didn't think about family, friends, anything like that. But I felt myself there in this space. I believe when they got my heart going again after 45 minutes, that's when I came out of it and they put me into an induced coma for 3 days, where I had all these hallucinations, and I can remember all of those as well as of if it was yesterday. So that sort of really got me thinking. I used to be a person who, if I didn't see it, I didn't believe it. And a lot of people would talk about what would happen after you die, what's in that space afterwards. Now that I know that there is something there, because I was there, the only thing that scares me is what's beyond that. If they didn't get my heart going again, what's beyond that light? So I'm a little bit fearful now of dying again. But at the same time, I still know that there is something. We're not just going to go and that's the end of it. So it's a little bit scary thinking about what that is. And it's sort of given me a much more of an appreciation of other people as well. Since the heart attack, I've become more involved with Lily and interfaith. I've gotten to know a lot about other cultures, other faiths, and those people involved in those. So it's given me a richer understanding, and it's also told me as well that we can be gone at any time. There was nothing leading up to it. There was no symptoms or anything. It just was snap bang like that. So it certainly does give you a wake-up call. It gives you a new outlook on life. I make the most of every day now, and people say, you know, what are you looking forward to this week or this month? And I just say, I look forward to every day that I wake up. And it's great to be working with Lily in these sort of spaces and to be meeting, as I said, people of different faiths and different cultures and working with them.
It is, for me, just wonderful to hear that story and to hear the existence of spirit in a sort of a universal sense of the awareness that I think I hear that Alan had. To take our awareness away from the particular or the peculiar to a sense of a universality. The artwork we're looking at the moment is from an artist, Maria Louise Budirsky, and it's called Transformation. I don't know what that word means for you. I like the trans bit because I'm not sure when the formation bit happens and does that evolve over time. Is there a recipe for us to evolve in a particular way or to grow? The good news is, I think in the words of Thomas Merton, I have no program. There is no answer. The fact that we're alive is the moment that we explore our own answers. So if I can offer a tray of possibilities in which you will find, as you search, your own answers, when does this, I'll ask it with a question, how then shall we live? Is it to become aware of the Dharma of Buddha? Is it the Fala prayer of the Muslim face-to-face with God? Is it the contemplative silence of Thich Nhat Hanh or James Finley? Is it in the dream time of a people that tells us richly of the creation stories and the laws and the dreams of the indigenous people who had lived here for 60,000 years? I don't know, but this bit I know. I had this amazing moment one day in a church hall. I make the real emphasis on church hall. I was early for a church meeting, which is going to take place in the church. And as I sat there and thought, okay, well, I'm an hour early, what do I do? I realized that there was a yoga class on in the church hall. And I thought, oh, I'll go and join that. So I did. 4 minutes into this class, and I didn't know anybody there. But I knew that someone had made the connection to book that space and it was okay that I was there. But so 4 minutes in, I thought, oh, I love this teacher. She is so kind. And then I thought, I love all the people in this class. And my rational bit came in and said, but you don't know them and you can't even see their faces. But this love feeling just grew. And it filled the space, and this church was high up on a hill. And then I just saw this love rolling into each house of a suburb where you can barely get a street park. But this just rolled. And I just saw this rolling wave. And it was nothing of me. I was basically just the witness. And it filled all of Adelaide, all of Australia, all of the world. And I think the only thing that I can know now of that story, which I can feel as if it's happening now, is that there is this love, and we are basically just conduits. And so maybe if you look at this heart, maybe that heart has got that opening, and we can think of the wisdom of the mystics. A person like Eva Cox says, we can't do anything if we haven't got a community where we build trust and practice. Jack Buckskin says, we cannot energize each other if we're not in the same room. It is our energy that needs to mix for us to get in the presence of one another. So I leave you with a few words to go and explore on your own what is on your tray. I think you know the word dadiri, deep listening. The Ghana word for dadiri is Yuro Inga Ganindi. It literally means listening with your 2 ears wide open. That comes to another Ghana word that somebody taught me, nyapati nyapati. We give, we take, we give, we take. Which leads me to Ubuntu. We are because you are. I am because you are. May your own moments of transcendence, transformation, transportation bring you to those incredible moments where you feel that there are no strangers in the world and that we are all connected.
May we honour and hold gently our past. May we live fully in our present. May we hope toward and build a future, living this ideal, to be a spiritual community, to welcome all, to nurture one another, to work for justice, and to care for the earth. May these walls around us breathe with hope, faith, and love of the ages. May they never become walls that separate to hold us in and others out. May they be like arms that reach outward to embrace our community and our beautiful and broken world, extending our ministry to all with healing, justice, service, and love. Let us go forth in joy, live in peace, and return in love. So may it be.
We hope you've enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter. This permission can be obtained by emailing admin@unitarianSA.org.au. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians or by visiting our website at unitarianSA.org.au.